Please be seated. Thank you. Five loaves and two fish. What do you feel when you confront enormous need in your life? How do you feel, in fact? How do you feel when you confront enormous need in your life? What do you do when you notice the task in front of you is beyond any measure? How will you address the big need in life? These are all the questions I want to raise as we meditate from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Jesus went back to his own town, Nazareth. But there the people did not receive him well. They were talking about him. They were telling that, who is he? He is our own boy. His mother, Mary, is here. His siblings are among us. They took offense of him. So Jesus left his town and went to other places. He wanted to expand his mission. He wanted to go even beyond Jewish territory to the Gentile territory. As he was going, this particular news came to him that John the Baptizer was killed. Jesus was disturbed by this news. So he wanted to go to a lonely place to grieve over the death of his cousin, his colleague, John the Baptizer. So he took a boat and he wanted to go. The people heard about it and they walked around that lake and came to the other side. Jesus took his disciples, took the boat, sailed the boat to come to the other side. By the time he came there, these people gathered on the other side to meet with him. Now, what are the options Jesus has? He wanted to go for a lonely place. He wanted to spend time all by himself. He wanted to grieve over the death of John the Baptizer. Now, he sees these people standing on the other side. What are all the options he has? He could have said, I'm sorry. I am not meeting you today. It's my private time. Come tomorrow. That could be one of his responses. The second response that came to my mind is, he could have been frustrated with the people. I have been serving you. Non-stop, I am working for you. Why don't you give me some time? Why don't you allow me to take a break? I will serve you certainly tomorrow, but why are you disturbing me? That could be the second response. The third response, probably that's from a human perspective, big crowd, beyond any imagination, big number of people gathered. You know, if you are seeing such big kind of big number of people, what would you do? Won't you feel helpless? Am I able to cater to their need? Is it possible to do something? That kind of a thought might have come. So we see Jesus wanting to take some private time, but people are there. However, Jesus is responding very beautifully. He was moved with compassion. Naturally, the love for the people came out. He has got no iota of resentment. He is more than willing to receive them and welcome them. He was moved with compassion. It's a natural outcome that we see in our Lord Jesus, compassion for the people. We have talked about this word compassion in the past weeks, even after I'm gone for my holidays. The first Sunday of July, the preacher talked about compassion. We talked enough. But I thought I will bring some more insights about compassion as we meditate on this passage. A special feeling that the gospel writers noticed in Jesus. They could not find an equivalent word in their present time, nor in the Old Testament time. There was no word compassion used in Old Testament. So they, the gospel writers, coined this new word, compassion. C.H. Spurgeon says, "When Jesus met with human need, the disciples saw in Jesus a change. Jesus agitated himself. His emotions went deep. His eyes filled with tears. Jesus was fully shaken. As he saw this big crowd, he was not inwardly looking. He was looking outwardly with full of love, and he was shaken by their needs." What a beautiful expression the gospel writers given for that feeling, compassion. I was in Bangladesh in 1994. During that time, an American lady visited the mission station. This American lady was born in a wealthy family. She had lived all through her life in luxury, and now she is visiting this nation. She could not walk in the street without crying. Looking at the difficulty of the people, she was weeping all along during her time there. She was really going out, looking at the barefoot people had, looking at the condition in which they lived. They lived in a shed and not proper roof. The medical facilities were not at all good. The roads were not good. Looking at their situation, she was crying all the time, in fact, weeping. What she could present herself is that, "I am helpless. I don't want this kind of a situation, but I am helpless." And that she was showing in kind of a sympathy. That's not what we see in Jesus. Jesus, looking at the big crowd, he was not presenting himself helpless, but he is presenting himself a strong person, and he wanted to stay with the people. He understands the pain of the people, and therefore he wants to stand with them. You know, he's not like a miracle worker who would stand on a podium and raising his hand to people saying that, "Heal yourself," or "Healing may come upon you." That's not the way Jesus operates. He comes with the people, comes to the people, stands next to them, and he feels for them. That's compassion. That's compassion. He doesn't give a blind eye to the needs of the people. And he connects with people. One of the best examples that we read in Luke Gospel is this. As Jesus walked into a village called Nain, he was confronted with a funeral procession. A young man died, and they were carrying his body out of the village to bury him. Jesus knew that the mother of the young man was a widow. Jesus could have immediately gone and raised the man from the dead, No, he went to the mother first. The widow, do not cry. He consoled her and came back and raised the man from the dead. So his compassion is not seeking for recognition. His compassion is not seeking for any kind of a response, but his compassion is connecting with people. If Jesus has healed somebody, even after 50 years, they would remember who healed them. But if Jesus is feeding the people, will they remember who fed on that particular day? But Jesus' compassion goes even beyond the sickness and touching the needs of the people, the physical needs of the people. Today they need to eat, provide them. That particular compassion doesn't expect any kind of a recognition. Even, I don't know how many of them ate, probably 7,500, 8,000, 5,000 men ate. How many of them knew from where the food came? Jesus is not expecting any recognition about that. His compassion is boundless. His compassion is outpouring. His compassion comes generously. And it touches every need of the human being. That's compassion. Are you seeing, are you experiencing this compassion in your life? This flows naturally from God. He is compassionate, and his compassion is still available to us, though we are not fit. And he is generously coming to us and understanding our pain, our sorrow, our difficulties, and our suffering. He feels the pain that we go through. He is a compassionate God journeying with us. So what we can learn from that? Jesus says this in Luke chapter 6, as be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. The model is given. The Father's compassion, Jesus' compassion, the model is given. You be also compassionate with others. Probably we may not climb up to the standard of his compassion, but we know what is compassion now. Accordingly, we need to also be compassionate. We need to be understanding the pain of the other people, the struggle of the other people. Jesus is compassionate. Now let's come to the second point. Jesus said, you have to feed them. They are wanting to send these people away because it was getting late. The time went very fast because Jesus started healing people, and the time went very fast. And the disciples came to Jesus saying that, send them away because it's dark. They have to go and buy food, or they have to go and cook meal. Send them away. Jesus said, they don't need to go. You feed them. Enormous need, big need. How can you find food for these people? But very interestingly, they brought 5 loaves and 2 fish. How could they bring 5 loaves and 2 fish? It is something like I announced saying that we need 10,000 euros. Somebody came with 1 euro. How do you feel? This is 5 loaves and 2 fish for these many people. How could they bring it? How could they bring it? Did they bring it because they thought that Jesus' parable, mustard seed, which grows very big, it grows into a shrub and a tree. Yes, little things that you do that becomes big. Is that the reason they brought 5 loaves and 2 fish? Is it that they thought about Moses? Moses was our leader. When he was physically present. There was no shortage of food. Every day we received manna. Now Messiah is here, so he would be certainly feeding us. Is that the reason they brought 5 loaves and 2 fish? Is it because they have read the Old Testament, where in Elisha, this is found in 2 Kings chapter 4, somebody brought 20 loaves to Elisha, the prophet. Elisha looked at his servant and said, go and serve it among the 100 people who are waiting outside. The servant said, how can this go? 20 loaves of barley bread, how can that be sufficient for 100 people? Elisha said, go and give, you will have leftovers. And that happened. Is that the reason they brought 5 loaves and 2 fish? But I would say an element of faith is certainly there when they brought these 5 loaves and 2 fish. A kind of an element. The little that you bring matters to the Lord. The little that you do matters to the Lord. It is not because the little has got power. It is all because the Messiah is here, therefore the little matters. Because the Messiah is among us, whatever little thing that you do matters. Whatever little that you give matters, because the Messiah is here. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you, within you. I am with you. So in God's kingdom, we don't need to be aiming, doing great things and big things. Wherever you are, whichever place you go, do the little things. That matters a lot in God's kingdom. Martha Berry, she was born in a wealthy family. She wanted her father to build a playhouse for herself. So the father built a playhouse, and one day she was sitting there on a Sunday afternoon reading the Bible. She saw 3 boys walking into her property and going by. She stopped them and she asked them, do you go to school? They said, no. Do you go to Sunday school? They said, no. Why don't you come inside? She brought all 3 of them into her playhouse and read Bible for them, taught some lessons. And she said, come next Sunday, but when you come next Sunday, bring some more people along with you, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors. So the next Sunday, these boys came. She was doing it, and in 1902, she built a school for these children. And that became very big. She died in 1942. When she died, she had 28,000 acres of land in which 38 buildings were built, and around 2,000 people were studying in her college, which is called Berry College, starting with 3 boys. Do little, give little. These matters a lot in God's kingdom. When we look at our vision of this church, what is the mission of our church? Making Christ known. Actually, you know God, know Jesus, and making Jesus known outside. Will we be able to do it? Do you have that kind of energy in us? Do we have that kind of expertise among us? Do we have that kind of resource there to reach this city? Do little, give little. Of course, you do it because the Messiah is with you. You do it because you have got the compassion of God in you. Compassionately, lovingly, and you are going to do the little that is going to impact the city. Thirdly, Jesus asked the disciples to gather all the leftovers, all the broken pieces, everything. Did he say this because he wanted to clean up the place? He probably was an environmentalist. He wants to keep everything neat and tidy. Is that the reason Jesus asked the disciples to gather? Could be. Did Jesus ask them to gather it? It is all because I'm not going to do this kind of a miracle tomorrow. This kind of a miracle is only once. Don't expect the Messiah to do this miracle tomorrow. Is that the reason? No, I don't think so. Jesus asked them to gather so that they can use it tomorrow. What Jesus is teaching them is that his compassion is available, his miracle is available, but we need to be responsible. We cannot afford to be irresponsible to the generosity of our God. So gather up and use it the next day. Now, Moses, when he was in the world, when he was leading the Israelites, he was with the people. He was moving with the people. But Messiah, the Lord Jesus, when he gave them the food, he said, "You can go now." He dismissed the crowd and he went again to the deserted place to be alone with the Father. He dismissed the crowd. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? You go away. Moses stayed, but then here the Messiah wants to go away. The Messiah went away to prepare himself for the cross. He went away to prepare himself so that the Lord's Supper can be given. He did that so that Lord's Supper is given to us, through which we are connected with the Messiah. Permanently we are connected with Messiah. By taking the Lord's Supper, we are connecting with our Lord Jesus. He is with us. His presence is with us. So the Messiah has taken us to a next level. Why I bring Moses into our study today? Because when Matthew wrote his gospel, he wanted to bring a lot of similarities from Moses. Moses had the Ten Commandments from the Mount. So Jesus had the Sermon on the Mount. There are many similarities he brought in Jesus. But Jesus stands tall and Jesus is unique and he is not like Moses. He is more than that, and he has come to give us the permanent food, the wonderful food that connects us with God, that connects us the earth and the heaven, that connects us with one another, and that is the permanent food that we are going to eat until we live on this earth. So what lessons we have learned? Come and enjoy the compassion of our Lord Jesus. He is truly mindful of you. He is not a person who stands 10 feet away from you. He stands next to you and he is compassionate of your need. As you receive his compassion, pass on that compassion to others. Whatever you do for the Lord, do it with that compassion, but don't think that it is small, it is big. Do it with sincere heart. The little matters. And be responsible in God's kingdom. I remember the China Inland Mission started by Hudson Taylor. See, Hudson Taylor started this mission. It is all because all other missions had planned only for the periphery, people who live in the sides of the country. Why? If some problem happens, they will immediately go away or jump to a boat and they run away. So the inland concept Hudson Taylor brought in our mission is inland mission. We are not going to stand at the border to do the work. We are interested in inside the country. We are dedicated. We want to live. So China inland mission. Another interesting thing that he said is, we are not going to ask money. Our mission is a faith mission. We are going to do mission because God has called us and God will provide us. It's a faith mission. And if you look at the mission history, during Hudson Taylor's time, he has got the largest missionary population. He has got the many mission stations. No other mission has got that many mission stations. All by faith. And in which he very beautifully said, God's work done in God's way shall not lack God's supply. That's a famous quote. God's work done in God's way shall not lack God's supply. As we celebrate our Lord Jesus, remember that he is with us. Have a firm faith in him. He will guide you even in difficult times. God bless us all. Amen.